Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right. Well, one of the things that the 49ers need to improve on, not only does Debo Samuel have to get better, but also special teams. And when you talk about special teams, it does not get much better than our guest. Steve Tasker joins us now. Steve Tasker, of course, the former Buffalo Bill, so he's certainly familiar with the elements. And I don't know of anybody that's done it any better over the last 10, 15, 20 years than one Steve Tasker. Steve, how are you today? And thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
I was talking about this moments ago, that, and we'll get into the San Francisco 49ers, but in these parts, they've gone after Schneider, who I think is clearly on a hot seat, and whether he's back next year is highly doubtful. Because the special teams, it's not as though it's been isolated to a game or two. You can set your watch that the 49ers special teams has been bad, and there's a good chance that it will. There will be gaffes to be made on Sunday. It's just the way it's been throughout the entire season. And for someone like you that excelled in that position, does it become just like anything else where it becomes mental? And it's just you expect bad things to happen. Can you speak towards a team not necessarily doing things right in terms of special teams, but when things go in the other direction, how that whole thing can start to snowball?
Yeah, it certainly can. I think that can happen in any facet of the game, offense, defense, and, of course, special teams. I think it's harder for special teams to kind of pull themselves out of it because, particularly in this day and age, I think it's hard to excel at special teams because of the rule changes, player safety, and the way the game is structured these days. I think it's more, and you said it, all those games where, you know, the Niners have a gaffe on special teams, the other team, you know, it's hard for them to even take credit for it. It's more about somebody making a catastrophic mistake than it is anybody else doing something great. That's the atmosphere of special teams these days. Somebody's got to blow an assignment and you take advantage of it. And it wasn't always that way, but I think more so than now, I think that's what it is. So yeah, you're right. It does come down to, you got to coach your way and you got to play your way out of it. And that's all there is. So you got to have guys in the locker room that'll step up in those core special teams meetings and just, you know, get guys to be better, just be better.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Steve. I love watching you play, and Lo Neal here, and watching the way you played the special teams position. The onus, how is it when you see a special teams, when you're on teams that struggle? What is the onus that you have to have? What is it? Because I've been around coaches, and they say offense counts as a third, defense counts as a third, and special teams counts as a third. How big is that in crucial moments, special teams, and what was it like when you knew that your team were depending on you to make plays?
Well, it's, you know, it's something you got to earn, you know. I mean, it's something that you just can't say it. You got to give them proof every day in practice, every game, that you can be dependable, your group, your crew, you know. Special teams has got to hold their end of it up. They've got to, you know, special teams plays. There's only, I think, one. The stats used to be, and I think they still are, 1 in 5 plays is a special teams play. So it's really 20% of the plays. But those plays are weighted in their importance so as to be given the full third of the game. And the importance is, one, it's the only play where you deliberately give the ball to your opponent. You kick it to them. You're giving up possession of the ball. Two, 90 to 95% of field position is dictated by special teams. When you get the ball, it's because special teams gave it to you in a spot either good or bad. And three, of course, it's a direct try for points. You're going to kick a field goal or an extra point. those three things, the field position, the changeover, and the points, are what makes the 20% plays in the special teams or in a ball game a full third of the game. So you got to have a plan, because you only get a fifth of the plays to make a difference. And depending on the changeover or the direct try for points and field position, you got to have your antenna up, because you're covering so much ground on punts and kickoffs. The ball is up for grabs literally every play, and you know it goes in the order of importance. One, you're trying to score a touchdown. Even your punt team should have the mentality that they're trying to score a touchdown, right? You want to make the guy cough it up and take it in, right? You got to get a then. Priority number two is, let's end the play with the ball, and then you go down from there. It's field position. It's, you know, it's all of that. That's the priorities you go from, and until you can get up there once in a while and hit those priorities at the top, field position, changeover, scoring, and ending the play with the ball, you know, you don't earn the trust. So in big moments, in games where you need it, guys just they're just hoping you get off the field without screwing it up.
Steve Tasker, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, former wide receiver, standout special teams performer for so many years. Steve, is there a distinct advantage for, obviously, the Buffalo Bills when you're taking on a team from the West Coast? And is it even more so when it comes to special teams? And maybe it's not verbalized, but is there a sense of confidence maybe that, okay, they're coming to Buffalo, and Buffalo is unlike anywhere else, especially the first week in December?
Well, the conditions certainly, it does make a difference for teams like Buffalo, like Green Bay, like New England, the cold weather teams who play outdoors. It does make a difference for them, because when you live in it 24/7, it's not a shock. You know, you're ready for it. You're ready. You know you're going to have to go out in it. You live in it. You get in and out of your car at the store. You go to grocery store. You go to practice. Right. You know, you go to work every day. You live in it. It's not a shock. And then I've done the same thing, man. You get off that plane up in the northern, coming from a southern team, you get off the plane up in the north, and it's like, holy cow, are you kidding me? Right? So it's a shock. And you don't know exactly which cleats you want to wear. You don't know exactly what you want to wear underneath your uniform. How warm do you need to be? How much movement can you get if you put too many layers on under your uniform? Do you want to be watertight? Do you want to be airtight? Do you want to stay dry? All that combinations of clothing that you can put on, you don't know what you're going to need. When you live in it, that's a foregone conclusion. You know exactly right what you're going to do. You got your game kit. You're going to just jump into it. You're going to go. And there's always that little bit of uncertainty for visitors who don't get a chance to do that very often.
When you look at the Buffalo Bills this year, what have you seen that's changed? No Diggs, no certain guys, and you seem like Josh is still flourishing. What is it about this team that make them one of the better teams in AFC, in your opinion?
They have a lot of different ways to win, and they've had a lot of guys come through, some due to injury where they got an opportunity they didn't know they were going to get. Other guys we just didn't know about. There was only one guy on the team when the season began that had ever caught a pass from Josh Allen in a game, and that was Khalil Shakir. Nobody else had ever caught a pass from him in a game. So there was all those question marks going in. And over the course of the first 10, 11 games of the season, multiple guys have stepped up and proven they're dependable. When the team has needed them, they have come through. One of the things about the Sean McDermott coaching staff that we have noticed throughout his tenure here is players who play here tend to play the best football of their career. They are really a good team at developing young players. You get young guys in here, and they give them what that particular player needs to thrive. They've got a huge off-the-field staff that are dedicated to making sure they know what makes their young players and their veteran players tick. And they give those players exactly what they need. They try and teach them the plays the right way, the way they intake, you know, the way they take in information. They teach them in a certain way. They let them learn in a certain way. They do everything they can to make sure their players have what they specifically need to be their best. And it has really paid big dividends, particularly in San Francisco. You guys know this. When guys go down, you need a guy that's ready to go in. And the Bills have been better at that this year than any team in the league.
Steve Tasker is our guest. And, Steve, you know, Lowe and I will sit here in the afternoons and try and figure out what's wrong with the 49ers. I mean, it's topical here, and everybody tries to put their finger on whether it's Debo, Kyle Shanahan, offensive line, defensive line. And one of the things that I subscribe to, and it's sort of an intangible because it's, you know, something like the hangover. You went to a Super Bowl last year, an NFC Championship game the year prior. You've played so much football. And when you think about the 49ers last year, not only going to a Super Bowl, but going into overtime and losing to Kansas City. And I remember distinctly in doing shows following that, that you said to yourselves, how in the world is this team emotionally going to get ready to play football next year? Because right now, there is, I mean, this is about as low as it gets. And to me, if there's anything that has any level of credibility in trying to explain away, aside from the obvious, that being the injuries, is that the hangover is a real thing. And obviously the reason I ask you, nobody knows it better than you were part of those, you know, four Buffalo teams that went to four Super Bowls and didn't win any of them. What's it like going to the pinnacle, getting turned away, and then having to recharge the batteries and try and do it again the next year?
Yeah, it's a real thing. There's no question about it. And one of the reasons is because, you know what an odyssey it is to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, you start in off-season, OTAs, mini camps, training camp, week one, week six, week seven, week 10, week 13, week 15, division games, injuries. It's just an unbelievable, you know, odyssey that gets you to the Super Bowl. And then when the clock hits zero and you're on the wrong end of the score, you are standing there at the bottom of the exact same mountain you just climbed. I mean, you're right back to the bottom. You're 0-0, and none of it mattered. It is a real thing. It is hard to get your mind around that. So it does linger, and it takes a long time for that to go away. Now, some guys handle it better than others, no question about it. And I remember when we went through it all those 4 years, the best thing you can do is just go away from it. Work out, stay in shape, but just don't think about any football. Just work out, stay in shape, and don't think about it too much. And then when you come back after a while, after a couple of months, you start getting the itch to get back at it and play again. If you don't ever let it go, it's going to hang around you. You know, it's going to hang around, and it's hard to forget, man.
Right.
It is hard. So I get it. I get the hangover thing. And I'll say this too, as good as a team looks when they're on a Super Bowl run, where they just look unstoppable and they look slick and they're well-oiled and they're outsmarting everybody and their scheme's better, their players are better, the margin of difference between the best team in the league, like a team like 49ers were last year, getting to the Super Bowl, and the 32nd team in the league, the Jacksonvilles of the world or the Carolina Panthers of the world, there is not that much difference.
Mm.
And as soon as you stop to take a breath in this league, it shows. And I think that is as much as what's going on with the 49ers as anything. You close that gap a little bit, and it shows in a lot multitude of ways.
No.
I don't think the 49ers are out of it or have gone anywhere that far. But you said all it takes is a hair's breadth difference, and it manifests itself in a lot of ways.
No, you're absolutely right, Steve. And in watching the 49ers, my question to you is, like, watching them, you know, being here and watching them play a team, Arizona, they're up by two with 4 minutes left. Arizona takes the ball and just runs it down their throat to win that game. You watch them, you know, play against the Rams. The Rams have four or five offensive line beat, not playing, two of their receivers, the top two receivers not in, double digit, they lose that game. Do you think it's just, do they not have it? Because I haven't seen them finished. They haven't played four good quarters. They're usually giving it up in the second half, haven't been playing well this second half. Is it just, you think it's the hangover or just the talent has fell up or just the scheme? When you see it like that, and you look at the way that they're losing, what do you contribute that to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Certainly the injuries hurt. I mean, sure. You got, plus even if your stars are playing and they don't feel 100%, it's going to show. and all of that. So there's a ripple effect that kind of takes the starch out of everything you do, even if you have your great players in there. If they're not feeling their best, or if one of the great players is out, the ripple effect to the guys who they elevated in their play, that's gone. You know, so there's all of that as well. But I'm with you. I think it to me, the Niners look like it's from the neck up. You know, I think it looks like to me it's from the neck up. And I don't know what it would take. I don't know the pulse of the 49ers at all, but I think Kyle Shanahan needs to, I think I would put it on him to do some soul searching and find a message that gets them over that mental hump or shakes the cobwebs out, whatever analogy you want to use.
Sure.
I think it's between their ears. And, you know, I think it's up to Kyle Shanahan to figure out what message he can come up with, what tactic he can use. Maybe it's his leaders. Maybe he needs to sit them down. Maybe it's the other end of the roster. Maybe he needs to elevate some of the lesser players and give them a shot at it. Whatever it needs to be, something needs to shake loose a locker room that's in a little bit of a malaise and just can't figure out or can't remember who they are. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of with you. Certainly the injuries have been a difference. No question. The talent level isn't at the peak of where you'd like it because of the injuries. But I think there's something else going on, and I think it's between their ears.
Steve, we got about 5 seconds left in the segment. I just got to ask you, how many times a week are you reminded about chasing down Leon Lett in the end zone in that Super Bowl?
Let me tell you something. You'll love this because it's been 35 years, and you're right. I get congratulated on that let's say, 6 times a year, right? And let me just tell you, remind you, that was not me. It was Don Beebe who ran Leon Lett down.
Don Beebe. That's
and
right.
Listen, I promised Beebs I'd never take credit for it, but I'm telling you right now, 6 times a year for 35 years, I've had to tell somebody that it was Don Beebe and not me.
On that
for
note.
For 35 years.
Wow.
So you are in good company.
Oh, Steve, we appreciate the time. All right, my man. Best of luck to you. And, of course, thanks for joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And a reminder, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All right, we continue. I want to get into a little Christian McCaffrey talk. He's been, you know, one of those guys that a lot of conjecture surrounding him. Is he healthy? Is it the line? Is it Christian McCaffrey? We'll do that and much more. We continue with Lowe and Dan Avone here on 95.7 The Game.